Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the LPN Show. Recorded both in Los Angeles and New York City. We're just, you know, here to hang out. Have a good time. All right. I'll talk to y'all after a while.
Hello, LPN Show listeners. Oh, God, it's so good to have you here. Oh, God, I love to have you sitting on my little lap. Did I start this bad? Did I do this bad? Welcome to the LPN Show. My name is Henry Zabrowski. It's me, alone, strong, like a reed amongst the hurricane winds. And today, we have an incredible, I would say indelible, guest. A man of many voices. A very, very, and many skills, as we'll see, because he's now ventured into the printed word. And isn't that absolutely fascinating? He's one of your favorite voices from Archer. He is the current author of a new comic book called Lester of the Lesser Gods. We have Lucky Yates, Atlanta's own.
Oh, it's me. It's really Detroit's own. I just live in Atlanta.
But do you not feel like
but
now
thank you.
That Atlanta
thank
has
you.
Made it inside of you?
I lived in Atlanta longer than I lived in Detroit, but I am still a Detroiter all the way to my core.
Have you ever talked with Matt Servito about this? Matt Servito played Satan on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, for those of you who don't know, and he's also a very intense Detroiter.
Most Detroiters are very intense Detroiters. There's just something in the brew there that you're just like, it really is you against the world. That's why that Detroit versus everybody shirt really became such a popular thing, because that's and I grew up in the 70s and 80s there, you know, when it was just at its worst. Like it was just barreling toward the bottom and just, oh, so gross.
It's kind of crazy, man. I was just in Detroit, right? Yeah. We did a live
gorgeous
show in Detroit.
Now. Well, downtown.
It's changed quite a bit, even in the years I've been going there, because my wife's grandmother lives about 3 hours north of Detroit. So a lot of times we'll go to Detroit, we'll hang out a night, and then we'll drive up to see her. And each year we come, it gets like, I was like, oh, there's like, it's like nice. It's like all these like hipster restaurants and shit are like opening up.
Yeah.
But I went looking for a dispensary this time, and I just walked 45 minutes in like one direction, kind of like just not even like thinking. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Which once upon a time, if you would have just wandered 45 minutes in a direction there, good luck getting back.
I was in the middle of nowhere. I still had somebody scream at me like, what are you doing? Because I was in the middle of nowhere, like just like in this industrial park. But then what?
Hey, man.
I was just so funny.
This gets weird over here.
But I was walking.
Still.
And there was a dude. I didn't see this guy. This guy literally popped up from behind a bush, went, hi.
Hmm.
And then just went back behind the bush. I was like, these people are so friendly.
Like goblins.
Street demons.
I went to college down there in the Cass corridor in the 80s. And you just going from like your apartment to a buddy's and back at night, it was really like very dystopian zombie apocalypse, because if there was anybody on the street, chances are they were some sort of street ghoul that was going to come try to get something from you. And it was just like, yeah, you just had to build this, like, I go fast and with purpose. And if they come at me, I am just going to give all the fuck you that I can. And
you
hope they don't pull a weapon.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember that a time period. There was like when New York wasn't just Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Like it definitely like that feeling where you just go, you just have, because that's what I start to realize. It's like you just have to, you can't look at anybody. It's very sad. You can't be polite. You can't engage.
Nope.
You just have to move.
Yeah, because barrel forth, not,
like,
man.
Because then you build inertia and then they got you. They got you.
Walk like that. Like I walk very, very fast. So when I'm with a group of people, I'm just like, I'm booking it. And everybody's like, we're not running. And I'm like,
that's how they get you.
I grew up in Detroit and then from there moved to New York. And I was like, this is just how I walk. Like, this is how you get through a city
to me. Are you back doing live shows at Dad's Garage in Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
This very evening.
I'm so happy that it's back.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I was scared for Dad's. I wasn't really scared because this guy, I've done shows there. Like, I was like, I can't lose another thing.
Yeah, no way, man. Time period. Dad's is forever.
It's doing so well. And it's so nice you guys get up there. Like, you guys can still, like, it sold out crowds. You did a good job.
We just added, starting next month, right now we're only doing 8 o'clock shows, but starting next month, we're doing 8 and 10:30 shows.
That's awesome. That's freaking awesome.
You know, and it's just like, you either have to show proof that you've had a test within the last whatever, you know, is, I don't know, 72, 48 hours. I don't know what the thing is. Or, you know, yeah, a vaccination, whatever. And everybody inside is wearing masks and nobody cares. And it's
just, fine. It's so, it's just regulations.
When we're on stage, we don't. But when we're not on stage, we all mask up. And it's like, who cares?
It's the dumbest thing. It's the most low-level thing.
It's just a little piece of dumb cloth. Who cares?
I don't. Who gives a shit? It's just regulations.
I actually love shopping with a mask on. I don't really want it to go away because I love anonymous shopping.
The shopping is easy. It does make it easier because then you don't have to feign the, because you know when you go into a shop and you're not going to buy anything, but then you've made sort of like the attention of the person at the cashier and they're like, can I help you do anything today? And I don't have to fake anything. You know, I can just stare down and be like, I don't understand. I just pretend to be a man who like wandered in from another country.
I cannot do.
You know what I realized, Lucky? Also wanted to bring up before we get into all the other mishmash.
Never get there if we keep this up,
dude. I forgot that you were like one of the mini sketch players on Good Eats.
Oh yeah, that was the dungeon master.
That's so fun. I was like, I remember that being like comeback because I was like, there was one other thing I wanted to talk about because I loved Good Eats.
I just shot with him last week. He's doing a tour. Elton's about to go out on tour again, and he shot a okay, this really is the end of Good Eats tour.
Oh sure,
There was a bunch of the sort of classic characters, and so I was there as the dungeon master. Yeah,
that's amazing that he like is that loyal. I know, not to be anything,
man, dude. I had scenes with the lady in the fridge, and she is literally like a newscaster. It's just like she's been playing this character, and he's trying to give her acting notes and stuff. I'm like, dude, she's like a newscaster.
She's just here on the weekend.
She's used to reading a script right there, like knock it off. She's doing great.
Is he a persnickety man, Alton Brown? Is he a man that is like, he's very specific?
He just does, it's all him, right? He writes everything, he directs it, he stars in it. It's like, it's all the world in his head. So you just have to know how, like, he can seem like he's a prickly pear on the outside, but that's just because he's way the fuck in there somewhere. And you just have to sort of you don't want to like go kicking in the door, because it'll just disrupt and go him, make him go like, rah!
Have you ever gotten to eat? Have you gotten to eat at his home? Have you ever been around his family?
Yeah.
That's really nice. He allows you inside.
We're buddies. We hang out a lot.
That's awesome. See, that's cool. Yeah. Cause that's the secret. It's like how, like getting to work with like Dave and Casper, all the kind of stuff. Like eventually if you do break through to a certain period of time being like, I sneakily made you my friend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I get him and where he's coming from, and he likes my sass, I think, because I don't give a shit. I'm just here to do sketches, man. Right, and he's snarky, right? Like he is, like he jokes around a lot, and so a lot of people go running away, going like he's so mean. It's like no, he's just snarky.
Yeah,
And if you sass back at him and can do it brilliantly, then he's like, yeah.
Well, he's on shows at Dad's, right?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Generally, if I'm there, yeah.
That's fucking hilarious, though. I would love to see him do some improv because some chefs are insane.
Oh yeah, 100%.
We had one chef on Pretty Face that I'm not going to even name him. He was lovely. Like, it had nothing to do with his, like, who he was like as a person. He was great. But he kind of showed up thinking he's like, oh, this is some kind of crazy comedy show, right, that you guys are doing. You guys are all devils. This kind of a crazy show.
Uh-oh.
And we're all like, yeah, you know, like it's definitely silly, and we're silly people, and it's gross.
Really, there's a script, and we're trying to abide by that.
We're kind of staying in a parameter. And he legitimately was destroying scenery. He was covering himself in food. I'm not even joking.
And
it was this thing where like he'd just go, and then we'd all just watch him. Go, because I'm Gary Bunda.
Yeah.
I'm in a, like, I don't even want to talk about what the costume, because then you'll know who it is. I'm not only Gary Bunda, but I'm Gary Bunda in a ludicrous costume, standing next to this man, like, just silent, because he is just going apeshit, ruining his wardrobe.
Did the script at all call for any of this behavior? None of it.
Not at all. He kept being like,
Well, you guys are all these like funny, crazy guys. So it's like, you know, I just want to make sure I brought the crazy, I brought the funny. And we're all like, that's funny.
What? That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's pretty great. It's
I
not,
mean, I suppose I if it, anybody, you know, anybody Kevin that Gillespie. Watches your pretty face is going to know as soon as they see a chef on your show.
But, you know, well, no, we've had a couple because.
Did you have to replace this person?
No. But
they made the cut.
It was edited in a way in which you just
to make it loosely fit into like what we were going for.
Just like it's kind of cuts in between like half a word, and it's like off of the first take before he destroyed all of his wardrobe.
Before there was food rubbed on him,
like it was kind like of a amazing.
Child,
I'm gonna be funny.
He just didn't know. He was just trying to fit in. And again, it's not Kevin Gillespie. He was a saint, and you need to let me back
great.
In a
Kevin
gun show.
Kevin Gillespie is a great. Guy.
He's wonderful. Like that's all. Well, again, that's why I keep coming back and back to Atlanta. Being probably it's the third. I think that Atlanta is legitimately the third best city in the country, but it's because I love Atlanta.
Dude, Atlanta is the new LA, and I don't know why everybody just doesn't admit it.
Don't say it like, too much, because then more and more people are gonna arrive, here. Man.
It's too late, man. Yeah. They're building everywhere. Like there's every corner. There is room to put a building. They're putting a building. They're putting right across the street from me. They're putting, and it'll be right across from Dad's garage, a 12-story building. Ooh. Of, you know, mixed use.
Yeah,
and
then, it's the hyper condos. And the then, super nice, like live in, like with the fancy yeah, and amenities.
And then right across from it, literally right across the street from Dad's garage is going to be another one. And it's just like, oh yeah, it's all bets are off.
It's
man.
Starting to happen. This dude. Is bad. And you know that Target's right on Cabbage Town.
Oh yeah,
it's like
yeah, I live in the old Fourth Ward. Oh, I live right around the corner from Death.
And even that's changed. Fourth Ward, even the time I was going to the Atlanta, oh, yeah. has changed 100%. So significantly because
oh, it's
Fourth
insane.
Ward, it definitely was a place where you found a little girl in the river back
was,
in the day.
Once upon a time, yes. Yeah, it was so dangerous. Not too very long ago. But
now you can get so much artisan fucking jerky, yeah. you'll throw up.
Yeah, so much. Well, the Beltline. We put the Beltline in right here, and boy, howdy, it just changed everything.
I know people say that the Beltline's an abomination, but I also think it's nice. I know that it goes straight to shopping, but I like
here's
walking
the deal.
On it.
I love it. I live on it, and I at first I was like, you know, it's like every weekend's a party, and it's, you know, because it's essentially our boardwalk, yes. right? And it's just like, now, every time I go down there, it's just full of happy people being outside doing things that they like and going places where they want to be. And it's just, there is an unbelievably diverse mix of people out there.
But that's what's beautiful about Atlanta.
Like a zillion languages. Like I'm just hearing all these languages. And I've lived in Atlanta since like 92, when it was really just a little sleepy town. Mm-hmm. The Beltline is great. I know everything like, yeah, it's all money on there and all that kinds of stuff, but whatever.
It's kind of nice. Great. I like walking the Beltline, but again,
it's
I'm great. A visitor.
It's nice. Everything is nice.
It's
I
nice.
Like nice.
We're going to probably be nice.
let's talk about the reason why I, you know, obviously this is a long time
why
coming.
Am I here,
why are you fucking here? This is a long time coming, and I'm glad that we did it.
Same.
But we did this thing called Lester. You wrote a comic book called Lester of the Lesser Gods. And we are also currently in the middle of writing a comic book. I got issue one. It's fucking hilarious.
Here's the, you got the cool, I sent you the cool the cover. Variant here's cover. Here's the regular, Yeoman's cover.
You can't really see it, but there is a rotund man that looks like a guy that samples katana swords on his YouTube channel. And then he's the misbegotten son. He's the misbegotten son of Odin, yeah. and a lot lizard woman.
He does not find out he's the son of Odin until the apocalypse hits.
That's what I also love about
Satan
the comic
brings
book.
On the apocalypse.
It's the you start so big because I love this concept of a. Like loser, a total loser that in one world is completely useless. And then when the world goes to shit, Lester
he's
then
the number one. Yeah. He's destined to be the greatest hero on earth.
And it's incredible. I love that kind of set, like because then you move the parameter. You also work with a friend of the show, Eric Powell.
Yes.
Who's also incredible.
Yeah, good buddy of mine for years and years.
How did you decide to do this number one? What made you want to do a comic book? Because just being a fan of it. And also, how did you go from, because that's a one hill that I'm trying to still get over with Marcus and I. Writing a comic book script is both like a screenplay and also completely unlike a screenplay.
I don't know. I still don't know how. What I do is I just write it like it's a story or write it like I'm telling it to my buddy, except when there's dialogue, I put it in the middle column like it's a script because that's how I'm used to reading dialogue because I'm an actor. And so it's just a mishmash of me saying what's happening and trying to describe things in detail to give the art a little direction. But I also try to leave it wildly open for interpretation. I also try to keep low on, there are four guys on the first issue.
Because that's the thing. How do you juggle having two other writers with you and then an artist?
This whole thing started in a whole nother universe. It's like it started as a TV deal
a pilot presentation or a full pilot.
There was a network wanted Eric to develop something. And Eric and I had always wanted to do something together. We've known each other since 2006, 2007, something like that. And so we were like, hey, here's a thing. And let's do it. And so he was like, I have this buddy who's a good script writer and all kinds of stuff. And let's the three of us, we'll go hash it out in a cabin. We went and hashed out this universe and then had it all. We wrote a show Bible and I think maybe the first script of an episode.
Yes.
And then the network, of course, just sat on the contract and did. Absolutely. I don't think they ever even looked at it.
Yeah, they just let it go. It's fun.
Until it just became ours again. And then we were like, well, let's make it a comic book. We'll do one issue. We'll sort of take that first episode and we'll do a comic book and we'll just see what that is.
Because making a cartoon,
what happens?
If you wanted to make it a cartoon, it's very fucking expensive to make it a cartoon.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all about action and battles. It's all the best nerd stuff with the hero being a 36-year-old LARP nerd who's been shit on all of his life. But he's been a solid and good hearted LARP guy who then gets his dream come true by both being the son of a god and being like given the task of like go fight evil. And claim the earth in the name of good.
I think that's the most successful thing of the first comic, which is that you really see the conflict of this dude going from like not a single person giving a rat fuck about his existence. And then all of a sudden, well, that's why I feel like there's so much room to explore later on. How can people like, do you plan to go back and forth in time loops or like
that? Totally. We're just going to bounce around what we're going with forward. Okay. So then then it became a comic book.
Yeah. Did you have to pitch this to Albatross? Yeah. Like, is this your company? Like, is this self-published or you do?
It's Albatross is Eric.
Oh, I didn't know that. Company. That's his company. Okay, that's great. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
We'll throw it out as a comic book and see if anybody even likes it. We don't even know. And so, we just wanted to see something in reality. And so, but moving forward, it's going to be me and Eric because that's where it all began.
Yes.
We're also going to do it. Eric's starting an anthology magazine because he's got like Lester and the Goon and Hillbilly and Chimichanga. And like, he's got these titles, but he doesn't have enough time because he also runs a publishing company. He doesn't have enough time to give any one character or title its proper amount of time to give a full run. So we're just going to do an anthology mag of short stories. And so I'm sort of writing Lester shorts now. And we're just gonna see where it goes. Hey, shoot.
Anthologies are coming back.
I love the idea. Heavy Metal was one of my very favorite magazines growing up. And to be able to write a chunk of one of those is a dream come true. This is all a dream come true. It's crazy. Working with Powell is a dream come true.
No, we're living a nerd's dream. We're living world. Like in it. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. It's amazing how
because it is all my favorite shit. So he's got, so Lester also has companions, right? He's got, there's Cat the Destroyer,
which he thinks, which I also love. That just
her name
in.
Is Kathy Stroyer.
That's just hilarious. That's hilarious. But also, she's not even introduced really in the first one. She just shows up, which I love. That it's just dropped.
Give her origin in the next issue. You see where he meets. You see where he meets both of them. And Duckbot. He has Duckbot,
which is also hilarious. That it's just there. We don't know who that is yet until we get there. You have the same struggle that I have, where Marcus constantly has to correct me on calling it episode. Because I keep saying, like,
I can't not. I know it's supposed to be issue, but it's also like, now that it's short stories within a greater anthology magazine, it isn't necessarily an issue.
No, it's an episode.
It kind of is an episode.
It's an episode.
But also, I say, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's an episode of Lester.
How do I say, like, listen, you're my friend of almost 20 years.
Fuck you.
Stop correcting me every single time I say the one word. It's driving me nuts because you know what I mean.
54-year-old man, I know the words that I use.
Like, I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to fucking stop.
But I also do. I tell people when I call it an episode, I always say, and I call them episodes, by the way, and I'm not going to not call them episodes. So just get used to
it. Stuck.
I tell them right up front, hey, man, this is how it's going to go down. And you have to deal with this now.
I don't want to tell you, man. I'm a jester first. Like, I'm a performer first, no matter what. It's unfortunate. I wish
no matter
stop.
What.
Do you have a limited idea of, like, the issues that it's going to run, or is it just going to go? Like, the idea is this just now the just continued
gonna,
adventures.
I don't know. We're just going to do it as we do it.
Yeah.
That's how I like to play things. I'll just like doing things as we do them.
Do you think that there is, like, specifically, because you will do so much improv up until acting, like, I think that that is a debate in the world of comedy, right? Because in my mind, I view myself still as, like, a sketch comedian before anything else. So I was viewed improv as a tool to get to sketch and that it doesn't quote unquote live on its own. But then I've also had magical moments on stage doing improv that you feel like, oh, this is the real juice. But then sometimes it's hard because I feel like the comedy world kind of fights over what's more legit.
If the comedy world can fuck right off, it's all legit.
Hell
if
yeah.
People are showing up and paying money to see you and they're laughing and leaving in a good mood, then job done. Fuck off with your labels and your whole like categorization of it all. Who cares?
The laughs that you guys get at Dad's are some of the biggest laughs I've ever seen. I mean it.
I love improv because it's I have a degree in theater. It's all I've ever wanted to do. I wrote a paper in first grade that I wanted to be an actor. Like, I have been on a singular course this whole time. It's all I'm qualified to do. I have a college degree in it.
I know. And so, I have a BA in theater. What is that going to fucking do for any human?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, fucking nothing. Like, luckily it worked out for us, right?
I guess. But still, I'm still knock on most, wood.
But for most, it doesn't. Right? And for most, but I think it's because most give up. Anyway.
When's the closest you ever got to giving up? Was there a closest part? Was there ever like part?
Giving up the dream? Never.
It's never, the dream doesn't go away if you really
have it. Oh, no, that's not true. I mean, I did take a break. I got married in the 90s and I married a wonderful Cherokee gal and I moved to the Cherokee Indian Reservation in North Carolina and lived there. So that was like kind of giving up. I like threw it all away and went and did that. But that was also just because like.
It built, you were in love.
I don't know. I like, you know, sometimes I leap before I look.
I mean, yeah, you're an improv artist. This is what happens.
Take the risk. See what happens.
Yeah, because I feel like I never got close to giving up. But there was definitely a period of time where it was like the money had ran out. And it really was just like, we are going to see how this next month plays out.
My back has been against the wall to where I've said, like, I'm going to have to get a job to support
that's
my
different.
Acting career.
That's
but it's never,
up.
I'm going to stop performing. It's shit, man. No way.
Getting a day job is not giving up. I actually think that that's like that. It's the totally opposite. Is that you are then giving yourself a way to sustainably do art.
Yeah.
Like you got it because you got to make cash money to live.
You have to. I mean, you have to survive, right? And if you're going to do art, you're going to have to probably be in a city or town, right? Just because that's where a theater or studio is going to be. And so you got to like pay town and city prices. So you know, you got
to
make money.
That's what you have to do.
But there's, you know, luckily we live in this crazy wild west world where there's just money to be had everywhere. Twitch shows and fucking, I
think about seriously. This. What have you seen in your time period? Because really think about that. I think about this too, because it's like you have gotten to really see the entire landscape just explode.
I'm like, I'm a Gen Xer, right? We're the last generation that just like, we went from zero, like you had to do everything in dial phones like this.
I feel like I'm the very last tip of it where it's like my mom had a rotary phone.
Yeah.
We had a rotary phone in our house. And then the internet probably started around the time I was 11, just when I could really figure out how to jerk off. That's when it was there.
It was all like, you know, who got a magazine out of their dad's drawer or trunk of his car. And, you know, there was a stash in the bushes over there. And you know what I mean? Like, it was all you had. Everything was analog. You had to do it all by hand. And so seeing all of it come, it's just like, whoa. I love it. I think it's amazing, especially in the world of like, man, I sit here, you know, you can sit on a microphone in front of a computer camera and make money by entertaining or doing whatever. There's people on Twitch making huge bank.
People make good money.
I don't know what. Sitting in a fucking tub of water. There's hot chicks like sitting in tubs of water.
Those women are blessed.
In their room and they're making money.
Those women are blessed. And also fucking, I would not want to be their landlord.
Take all the money. Take it all.
No, and it's, we talk about all the time about how we also discover what's really interesting about all of these, not smaller audiences. You don't have to be a network sitcom star to make a living anymore.
You don't want to be a network sitcom star. It's a miserable life.
It's hard. It's a gold cage.
The higher you get, the more you have to just hide and you're not allowed to do anything because you just sort of get mobbed by people and it's just not comfortable. It's just like,
it's hard. You can't live a life.
That are like the higher they get, it just seems like it's, they're more and more uncomfortable.
But also
in the society
on Twitch. In a lot of these audiences, you only need like 1,000 people.
Man, yeah.
Like that's what you need to make a living. You can make a living if you get 1,000 people there that are regular fans.
No matter what your deal is, there's 1,000 people that are into that thing that will eventually find you if you just stick with it. It's all the same secret. Just stick with it.
But now you have Atlanta. Atlanta is now the new place for, I feel like, for these big stars to come and try to like, this is where we're incognito. This is where we hang out.
I know people love it here because they can't. Well, also Atlanta, it's really great in how it just kind of, it's just accepting of like, oh yeah, who's here? Oh yeah, great. They're here now. Great.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, they're right over there.
Most of the time they're pissed about it.
And nobody they want to get all recognized and people are just like, yeah, great, you know, welcome to town, glad you're here.
You brought too much attention to my restaurant. You know, people be like, you're making it difficult for my people to sit here. Like they actually get mad.
We're happy, everybody's happy that you're here, and but we're not going to make a big stink, you know, like you won't get mobbed or anything like that unless you're trying to cause that sort of scene. It's great.
It is great. I mean, I love Atlanta. I know I've been talking about it for fucking years. I'm trying to move there. It's the whole goal. But back to the comic.
You know, it's very easy to move here.
I know. That's the goal. That's what I'm trying to. We're working it out. I came out to LA because it seemed to be, you know, this is not even really for podcast.
I get it. I lived there for.
Yeah. You come here once. To do the stroll. You're supposed to be here to be.
I went to 99 and I went out there in 99 and I got pretty bummed pretty fast because I was like, my friends that had moved out here years ago, they're already being destroyed on the inside.
It happens so fast. God,
what's happening to people out here?
Back to Lester of the Lesser Gods. I actually wanted to ask you.
Let's get back to this comic book.
I wanted to ask you, what is your background in this type of like fantasy world, like sword and sorcery? Like obsession, because I know
other
we do the
being
D&D.
A lifelong fan.
Yes, I mean, I'm asking, like, what's your favorite? What are like the number one inspirations that you have?
Okay,
for this concept,
there are very clear inspirations.
Yes,
that this comic comes from.
Yeah,
it is of course Conan.
Everybody
got to throw in the Robert Howard Conan.
Those
stories,
short stories affect me emotionally. I actually love those short stories. Like I am, I'm really into them because also like knowing that dude committed suicide and that like Conan was sort of like his kind of like a proxy dude. He put himself into to feel strong.
Yep. Yep. That was, yeah, his way. Yeah. Oh, poor guy. All the writers back then were so fucked up.
Fucked up.
So Ed Koden, Thundar the Barbarian. I don't know how familiar you are with that old 1970s cartoon, Thundar the Barbarian. That's really a lot of what's going on with Lester. Thundar,
that's the guy where that's there, the meme.
The sun sword. Yeah, the sun sword. So it's a Hanna-Barbera show. It's fucking great. I think Alex Toth did the designs for it, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Or however you say his last name.
This is so funny, man, because I thought that some of the toys that I had as a kid were He-Man toys. I think they lot more Thundar the Barbarian toys.
I don't know. There weren't a lot of Thundar toys. So there were three. So it was a ripoff of, like, there was Barbarians. It was set in a universe. It was Earth. And in 1999, a meteor or an asteroid flew between Earth and the moon. It cracked the moon in half, somehow caused a big apocalypse, bringing magic back.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Yeah. So, yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. But honestly, it's an homage.
And yeah, it's, and then it's Thundar who has, he's got a lightsaber, but it's called a sun sword. So he just carries the hilt on his bracelet.
It's just straight up all his, it's all the different stolen bits.
Yeah. And he is a straight up sort of like, not broken English, but very basic English barbarian type. He has Princess Ariel, is his female sidekick.
She's hot.
And she is a wizard lady. And then there's Ukla the Mock, which is their Chewbacca. He only growls. And Ukla's horse, they all ride horses, but Ukla's horse is this weird lizard horse. It's fucking awesome.
I had this so lizard horse toy.
There's weird, like, fucking wizards, but they're like 1970s and 80s tech, but they're in the ruins of 70s and 80s, and they're sort of using that. So that's like that inspires Lester so much, is that show, and then also the original Harryhausen Clash of the Titans,
which is
like one of my favorite movies of all time.
I actually went through, I did a little bit of a Harryhausen like festival for myself, where I got Argonauts, yeah, and I got that, and I just fucking popped in a couple of caps.
So great.
And man, like,
oh yeah, fuck yeah,
it's
dude.
It's so scary on mushrooms.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
It helps you. It's like, yeah, oh shit. Like, cause it has that kind of uncanny battle, valley. So like the weird twitchy movement. They're so fucking good. Uh-huh.
All that stop motion fucking, it's so great.
Have you ever read any Michael Moorcock?
No, sir.
That is another dude that got, that's Shane Morton got me into Michael Moorcock, who is another guy.
So what a great name for a porn star if he was into male-on-male porn.
I mean, honestly, it would be.
I'm Michael Moorcock.
I need Moorcock.
The Bukkake King of Chicago.
That's what I am. I'm the human snowman. Take a look at me. Oh, somebody found the icing.
Glaze me, bitches.
I also write fantasy novels.
King of the donuts.
Come on, man. I'm a fireman's dream. But these guys.
Michael Moorcock. Anyway, yes.
Michael Moorcock wrote another series of books that were like that, like this, essentially.
Oh, yeah, right on. And so Duckbot is our Bubo, because I fucking love Bubo. I love that owl so goddamn much.
Well, you have to have something that sells toys.
I also. If we took into consideration just like figures and cosplay, I cannot wait. My goal. So this came out, this thing has been in the works for so long that I just, like, every time I would get an email or we would have to do a little Lester thing, it would just be a little blip and then it would go away again. And then when it finally got in my lap, I was like, oh fuck, I am in love with this. Yeah. Holy shit. Like, I forgot how great this was. And then, I went to Dragon Con and watched the parade. I just went down there to watch the parade.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, my new goal, the Night of 1,000 Lesters,
dude,
at Dragon Con.
Dude, the best part is that you can start the seeds at that.
Because I looked at the crowd and the parade participants, and I was like, it's going to be the easiest goddamn, and they are all going to be comfortable as fuck.
There's a Lester.
They're going to be mostly naked.
There's a Lester. There's a Lester. Yep. Like, as you go through Dragon Con.
You need a black wig, a black banana hammock, and some thigh high boots, and you are ready to roll.
Well, that's what I also like, is that any way, shape, or form that you can flip sort of expectations for these type of things, because it's always the chicks that are in tiny amounts of clothes.
Yeah,
Yeah. I really like the idea that it's just him.
Loud and proud, baby.
Because he's invincible, essentially. Right? Like, would you put it that far? Like, he's
a demigod. You know, he's like, I don't know. I'm sure Odin sired many a child. We're, you know, only familiar with a couple of them. But, like Hercules. I mean, Hercules is a demigod.
Well, that's and I also love that concept. I believe that there was time periods where people created the idea of these demigods. I've said this to people and they just say, like, are you high? But I don't know if that's correct or not. That these characters through history were like based on like loosely like real people. And that they became gods.
Right.
Like they became viewed as gods. Like somebody that was like Hercules that was around.
Yeah. There was a dude who could do all kinds of crazy shit. And they were just like, two generations later of people telling stories about the guy. It became this
thing.
Man who wore the head of a lion and was the son of Zeus.
I mean, it's cool as fuck.
There will be other demigods running amok.
At least
that's what, yeah.
Do you now adhere to your show Bible? Like, you're going to do all this?
No. The loosest concepts we're going with from there. We're sticking with, the main characters that were in the show Bible, but even like what we had cooked up for the show isn't necessarily what's going to move forward in the book.
Dude, you really got to maybe start getting Lester on one of these streams, because you do streams. Like, you should find your Lester. Like, you remember when they found Carl? Like the guy that like was Carl.
Oh yeah, right. To find the actual guy.
Yeah, like find
Lester. We're gonna need a couple more stories first, I feel like.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody even knows about this one yet.
Well, how do people, so how many are they gonna come out?
Like, I don't know how they get it. Tell your comic book dealer to buy it. They'll know how to get it.
That's what we say to our listeners for our comic book. We're like, go to your comic book store and ask them, because also that's one way to generate business for your local comic books.
You want to support them so much. And so, and you do, you want this thing in a hard copy.
You do.
It's fun to have a comic book. There's three different covers for this.
Do you read a lot of comic books?
Yeah, I love comic books. I read a lot of comic books, but I do read. I go to Comixology on my iPad where I can just sort of catch up on all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I see a lot of people.
I have an iPad Pro, so it's really big, right?
And
yes. You can go panel by panel, and it's just like you can really look into the art and all that kind of shit. So I really dig that. But I prefer, a hard copy of it. But then you got boxes of shit you got to lug around.
I know, man. But, the one thing I won't get rid of is my books, because I just have...
I know. It's tough.
I have hundreds of
books.
You
know what's great, though? You know what's great that my friend Judy Greer discovered here that she just fell in love with, that she said LA wasn't doing right, was little free libraries. We do them right here, and they're fucking great, man.
Yeah.
You don't feel bad about dropping it in a good little free library. Like, if you're like, I love this book, but I'm tired of carrying it around, I'm going to drop it in a good one, because you can also grab good, good shit.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It's a good way to just exchange with your neighbors of like, here's, cool shit that I like.
No, my neighbors have some. But the thing is that all of my books are so fucking evil that, like, I mean it. Like, if I were
what a great thing to drop in a fucking little free library.
I guess,
man.
I could put the crimes
That's
of hilarious. Rock Terrio and the Anthill fucking gang. Yeah. I guess I could put that into one of these fucking free libraries.
Yeah, just fucking
just
like
hurt people's minds.
And yeah, put it next to like there's a monster at the end of this book or something. Seriously. Really cutesy. You know what I mean? Put the two of them together.
Be like, there's a monster at the beginning of this book. Like, you have to take a look
for
at
real.
It. Because it's good too. For me, as a child, I hate the words exposed, but I was exposed to this content, my content, very early. Like, my mom was super into horror,
right,
and everything evil. And so for me, as a scared little kid, it was actually really good, because someone told me early on as a kid that the more you know about something, the more you can kind of have control over it, especially like your fear over it. And so
face your fear,
I was super scared, and then I would just read all of this horrible shit. And then it made me who I am. Am I absolutely riddled with insomnia? Yeah. But I guess that's it.
Yeah, but is that because of that?
I don't know.
You don't know that.
It might be the cold brew concentrate.
Right, yeah. Same thing with me. I fucking jack on coffee all day long.
Because what are you going to do? How do you keep your energy up when you are because you're like me. You're a motor mouth, like improv dude.
Yep.
How do you keep up the energy to keep doing it?
Coffee and weed all day long. That's all I do. I'm just a all day longer.
It's
what you, you know, hey man, again, I'm in my mid 50s. What the fuck am I going to do? Like, I'm like going with it.
Cocaine, right?
Like I discovered that I'm not going to, you know, I won't go down the coke road. I'm going to stick with coffee and weed. It's just like this perfect combo.
It helps me. It like really I got to have something.
I was a mess before I became an all day stoner.
And the weed's different now, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's so much like better. You can really tailor it to your whole chemistry, right?
Can you
find
buy
your strain
it?
And like stick with it?
Atlanta, huh? It's just medical.
I still have to go to the black market, yeah. But I like supporting the local independent businessman.
It's like
I don't know what to tell you.
The only thing that I think
dealers never go away because it's just like, no, I like this. I like meeting a guy in a parking lot. I think that's pretty cool way to buy a flower, a bag of some flowers, some dried buds.
It's so hard though because like, man, for years, like I'd have to have a guy come to the house. I remember like there was this one guy I used to get weed from and he used to show up and his thing is that he didn't smoke. But he sold it, but then he wouldn't leave. So he'd hang out. And his thing was he'd be like, no, smoke. And then he would just talk about soccer for like 45 minutes. And we're
like, dude,
you're fucking killing me, bro.
Yeah, this is not our relationship.
I just hate soccer, man. I don't know anything about it.
I don't care. Right. I don't care.
It's so when you're talking, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know what a guard might be.
But you guys have friends now, right? That are your dealers. Eventually the good dealers become your friends. And then when you're hanging out, that's in my mind, right? Because that's like the one thing you kind of, you bring them in close.
I have a lot of times just friends that become sort of dealers, not really dealers, but just middlemen. You know what I mean? Everybody is working at dads. You're working with artists all day long. So everybody has a dealer or two, right?
Oh, of course.
And the good ones, you kind of go like, oh, that guy has a good one. And maybe you hook up with that person or you're like, I have a really great relationship with my person, but he doesn't really want to talk to a lot of folks. But so just tell me what you want and I'll go buy a bat.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of deal.
Old school stuff. Always. Yeah.
And at a theater full of stoners, it's really easy just to sort of like ask your buds like, hey, where can I get?
Well, I truly just hope we can make it federally legal only just for the fact that the people are going to jail. Like
insane. That it's not.
It's going to flip. It is going to flip. There's no way it's not.
So much money and industry to be. I don't understand the hesitancy.
It's because they have to admit they're wrong.
People like that's what you're wanting to.
They have to admit they're wrong. It's like it's the fallacy of this idea that we like quote unquote like lost the war on terror. It's the same shit where it's like they don't want to say we lost the war on drugs.
Fucking pride.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
Ego is the death of everything.
Absolutely. People are rotting in jail for nothing. And it's really dumb.
For fucking moving around the buds of some flowers. Hey, like there was a plant that grew out of the ground. I picked some of the buds on that and gave it to this guy for money and now I'm in jail forever.
It was there for us. It was there for all of society.
It was provided by your grand wizard in the sky.
Seriously.
Not the other kind.
I mean, no.
Also the other kind.
I mean, sometimes. It depends on what part of the world.
But the other kind is why, you know, a jail population is as it is.
Yes. But that's, you know, I hope with as many people are smoking, because I do believe that on some level, smoking does help a lot of people. There are some people it makes you hyper paranoid, and there's other people where it is, I mean, it's definitely better than opioids. That's for fucking sake.
I will tell you 1000% as a person who has lived with a near crippling anxiety for my entire life, weed is game changer, man. It just like really, and this, you know, again, I got into it when I was in my 40s, really. Yeah. Like I smoked when I was younger, but I also got a lot of panic attacks when I was younger from smoking
because he was an
anxiety riddled punk, right? And I didn't know what I was doing and it could be whatever, you know, as an adult, as a responsible adult, I went into it wisely and I use it, you know, it's, if it ever becomes a problem, I'll stop. Nobody has ever pulled me aside to say, Lucky, we think you're a little too cool right now.
Your hair's just like sticking up. You know what I mean? It's just like your eyes are fuchsia. Like you're just sitting there.
If I was ever like, I mean, my job isn't going on stage or in a microphone. If it was ever too high to do it, I would be like, I am too high to go out there right now. I'm going to have to go sit down for 15 minutes, kill Just vamp.
Are you a person that felt like, because you were a high anxiety person, because I'm a high anxiety person, but then on stage, I always felt hyper comfortable.
No, well, I'm never more comfortable than when I'm on stage.
It's really interesting to see how people's brain chemistries work like that.
It's insane.
Because there's some people, like if you were to put them on stage, I do know that that is still the number one fear of all humankind is talking to people, which is something I understand.
Right. Talking in front of people. Right.
Because it's the only thing I know how to do without anxiety.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the only place where I'm good. It's the only place where I'm really me.
Yeah.
It's weird. Maybe what are you going to do? It's just we're show types. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do about it?
I just love to do. It's weird how Shade Morton's always says it. Like, you either got it or you don't.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, you know, clearly we're made to do this stuff. It's where we're happiest and it's what we do best and we can excel at it in the field. So, all right.
It seems to be cool.
I don't think there's any kind of weird psychological anything other than like, out in the regular world, it just freaks me out a lot. But when I'm up here sort of portraying the real world and its idiocy, I'm comfortable.
I think that's why we even joke about it, but during the heart of the really intense lockdown part of the pandemic, there was a period of time where I always just assumed, like, you know, because show business comes and goes, like those type of work, it really does come in cycles. There are years where you're hot and years where you're not. And like, but I never thought that live performance would ever go away from me.
Right.
Like I never thought there would ever be a circumstance
where
it would go away and it wouldn't come. And I didn't realize this, like the type of vacuous hole that it left inside of my life, not being able to go on stage. And while we were trying to do Twitch shows and we were having fun doing Twitch shows for our audience and having fun online, it just didn't really give the narcissistic supply I needed. Like, it didn't give me my juice that I needed to be a normal person.
Yeah, right on. I launched, as soon as it was really coming, I was like, and shit started going like, okay, we're going to shut down. Okay, we're going to stop doing. I started doing Instagram live shows just out of like, hey man, people are going to want shit to do because they're all going to be locked at home soon.
I need shit to do and you need shit to do.
I need to perform. And so I've kind of wanted to see what this world was all about. But I did it like every night for 9 months. It was nuts. And I burnt out and then my dog died. So I stopped.
God. It's hard though because
it's all right. It was part of the deal. He was almost 16. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what am I going to do?
It's just one of those. Yeah. But burnout's a part of it.
He was, you know, my soulmate. But also, again, it was part of the deal.
Oh, poor puppy.
We knew the day was coming.
It's so hard. They're all, like, as George Carlin said, every pet is just, it's a guaranteed tragedy.
Yeah, 100%. I prepared, like, daily for it. You know, being an anxiety-filled still
exactly.
dude.
Exactly.
But also somebody who was like, this is potentially a life-crippling situation, or I can deal with it on the daily and remind myself every day that one day it's going to be it and we should do everything today that is the awesomest. And that's what we did. And it was great.
That's really sweet.
And when his time came, he went on and that's fine.
No, I know. And it's
part
just,
of the deal.
It's, I know it's a thing that we all have to deal with. And we talk about it when it's
it sucks,
like, I'm
but,
just
you know,
thankfully
what are you
that
do?
My
like,
dog's immortal. Dog though,
the fucking best life. I don't want to get into a bunch of hocus pocusry, but there's a weird angle to that comes back around on it. It's just very weird. And I feel weird even talking about it because it's not a thing that I even fucking really believe in. But yet I experienced it. I don't quite know what to do.
What, you felt like you got like a hello back from your dog?
I explained the phenomena to a friend of mine afterwards, and she said, oh yeah, that's called soul bonding. That's witchcraft stuff. And I was like, what? And she's like, that's what witches do with their familiars. And I was like, okay, so here's the deal. So I knew Abe's time was coming, right? Like he's been short circuiting for a couple of years, like going just wonky in weird ways. And so this last short circuit, he just couldn't walk. And there was just like, he seemed fine, except like just trying to even stand or do anything caused him extreme pain.
But he's like,
and it was
wagging his tail
on,
and he's like looking at you like it's fine or whatever. But yeah, but it's not.
But then when, you know, he's looking at you and he's like, fuck this. And I'm like, fuck this. And so I, you know, when we had to do the thing, and it was like right before Christmas, it was like the 23rd. Gosh. And so like, right, I give him the amazing last day. I'm giving him all his favorite shit. We do it that night and it's just great. And I go home and I just scrub my loft. And then the next day I'm ruined, ruined. Then Christmas happens. And then I'm just like, all right,
what
I'm
a great day.
Christmas. I'm going to have a good Christmas in spite of this great loss. I have no other choice but to try to enjoy Christmas at least. And I really had a nice Christmas day.
Yeah.
The next morning I woke up and I went, it feels like Abe's here.
Whoa.
What the shit is that? It feels like Abe's in the room. Why does it feel like that? And then I felt this like, blinkle, blinkle, blinkle inside my fucking chest, Henry. And I swear to God, I am not into this kind of shit.
You're not.
At all.
Yeah, you're not.
I am John Q. skeptic when it comes to any kind of hocus pocusry and afterlifey kind of anything. And every time I can talk to him and I can do all this shit and I can feel, I don't know, it's whatever it is, man.
I can feel
him in there and it just, we're still a team and I know it. And every time I think about him, I get happy and I get happy in there and I get happy up here and it all, I don't get sad. There's no sadness. I feel like he's still with me and it literally feels like he lives in my chest and I don't know what to do with that, but fuck it. That's what's going on. Anyway,
it's your familiar. I really do believe that there's something about that where it's
weird.
It's your familiar.
Yet I always introduced him as my familiar. That was the weird thing about it. When my friend Becky told me that, she's like, oh yeah, that's what witches and their familiars. They call it soul bonding. And I was like, I always called it my familiar when I would introduce him. I was like, this is Abe Jackson, my familiar. And everybody's like, oh my God, but it's true. You guys are never not together because we were never not together.
Yeah. So, you were very bonded.
Whatever happens in that, and with souls and all kinds of stuff, it happened with me and I don't know what to make of it. I'm sure
that they
there
did
are that a means zillion that explanations that could be, but all I know is Abe's still riding along with me and everything's a-okay.
This is my mother coming through where she's been like, that means the dog did their job. They walked you through this life.
He was the greatest love I've ever known.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Just his robot, you know, conking out, it wasn't the end of it.
No.
It did, you know, like his spirit lives on in me and I will carry his spirit forward. And that's, you know, that's just sort of the deal that we have.
This is such a nice touching story and I'm glad it's not just like, and that's when I turned to fucking machines. You know what I mean?
I was like, when the first time I've ever admitted the story in public.
Wow.
Like this is, you're getting a fucking Lucky Eights exclusive for what that's worth. An
emotional scoop.
For all fucking 3 cents, that's worth.
Honestly, I think there are a lot of people that will relate. And I think, because I think that people get very, very close to their pets, especially those of us that are not, like, I don't have no human child. So
I had no children, no spouses, no nothing, man. It was me and that dog for 16 years, like all day, every day. And if I had to go somewhere, we each had about a 3-day, you know, we could be all right for 3 days and then we'd both start getting hinky wherever, you know, he was here and then I would be off wherever. And then when I would come home, it would just be like, ah, it's the best. And so every day was the number one. And, you know,
hey, man,
what are you going to do? Now he rides a lot. Now he doesn't weigh as much and he doesn't leave hair everywhere.
Yeah,
but I still find him.
He's still inside of you. That's so nice. Yes.
It's so weird.
But
it's so weird.
It's one of those, man. I live in the gray.
Yeah.
I mean, used to be more of an atheist. I now weigh more. I'm in the Robert Anton Wilson.
We're just a bunch of dumb apes. What do we know?
We generate our own reality as it is. This is just the constant shifting, like the projection of this reality that is around me.
You watch Terrence McKenna and then it all breaks down and you're just like,
my quarantine was spent with Robert Anton Wilson, Alan Watts, Terrence McKenna.
Alan Watts and Terrence McKenna became like, two of my big gurus.
It just got, because it got me out of my head. I was starting to watch some Ram Dass, but then it was just all about dying. And I'm like, I'm not ready.
Oh, yeah. No, I got into Stoicism.
Yes.
Pretty heavily into Stoicism. And microdosing is really great.
It really is. Microdosing really changed. It changed my quarantine.
Another thing that's just like, come on. It's really just this easy and fucking we're not allowed to do it. That's crazy. Because I can have, when I microdose shrooms, I'll take just a little tiny bite of a stem and a little tiny bite of a cap. And that'll keep me happy for like 3 or 4 fucking days.
It's wonderful. Marcus Parks, the producer of our show, like, you know, Marcus Parks, he fucking switched completely over to microdosing from his anti-anxiety meds.
Yeah.
Because he says it just has a lasting effect. And I'm also getting groovier.
Yeah.
He's like, he's come up with great ideas.
Right. Yeah, fucking yeah, because synapses are being connected that have been stifled all this time.
No, he's like becoming like super loose. It's like, it's really fun. It helps him. And I was like, and it helps me. I fucking love to do it. I sometimes do more of the macro dosing. Sometimes you forget that you have been
sometimes it becomes a nibble becomes a bite. Man, what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? You have a fun day.
Yeah, I mean, what it comes out do? To it. I'm not going to turn it into a deviant. Not on,
it's not like it's going to last forever.
Not on mushrooms.
Anyway, so Duckbot is Bubo.
You guys, that's my best part, man. So look up Lester of the Lesser Gods. Go to your local comic book store and tell those fucking assholes to purchase
about
it and
this
put
book, because I'm sure they don't know about it.
Tell them about it. Be like, you know the people who make it. I think that's a big thing, too. It's like, you know, it's Lucky Yates, it's Eric Powell. Like, these are people that they have cred. You know what I mean? It's that shit. Like,
yeah, right.
Put it in the comic book. Like, put it in the store. It would be amazing. Dude,
one day to be played by Henry Zebrowski.
That is my goal.
Somewhere.
I want to do this. I have the vibe. I'm going to build back up.
How badass would it be if we could bring that world to live action?
Just the idea of a 37-year-old chosen one is just such a funny idea.
Like, I don't know how we would do it, but. You would be great.
We should talk about it with you.
Riding around on a scooter.
I want to do this real bad. I really want to do this. I fucking love it.
It'd be so hilarious.
Lucky.
You would be so perfect.
I want it. Lucky Yates, thank you so much.
Or animated as well. You would also be a perfect voice for Lester.
Honestly, though, if we could get it to be live action just because I love it.
It would be the best way to do it. It really would.
Sword and Sorcery.
It would be so fucking badass. That way I could just fucking puppeteer the Duckbot puppet, which is all I'd really want to do anyway.
It's so much fun because Dave and Chris, we've been talking because we're doing the animated Pretty Face that will be coming out right at some point.
Oh, great.
But, you know, I never got to say goodbye to doing the makeup.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird how much it was a bane of all of our existences, but now that I can't go back
until you didn't have it anymore.
I'm so sad. I'm so sad that I never got to, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, I wanted to say goodbye to it.
Sure.
Ah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not upset.
It's all right. We'll put Gary in a Lester episode. Lester can lop his head off.
Fucking incredible. Be like, oh, fuck. And then he just pops back alive. Lucky, dude. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Thank you, Henry. This has been just a wonderful delight.
It really has been. Is there anything else you want to plug? Any social medias? Any of that kind of horseshit you want to plug yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, find it, man. You fucking know what social media is.
Go buy Lester. Watch Archer.
Please.
It's good this season. It's really great.
Yeah, man.
It's a very, very funny season. And the episode coming out next week is a fucking, it might be one of the best Archer episodes ever. It's fucking amazing.
And that's saying a lot, honestly, for people being inside of it for so long.
It's a great episode next week.
But guys, yes, listen to Archer by Lester of the Lesser Gods. Thank you for listening to the LPN show. It has been a wonderful time, hasn't it? And I will see you again next week with more wonderful information. This is a great way to end. All right. See you, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.